Okay, let us recite, pay our homage to the Buddha first by reciting Namo Tassa three times. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Before I start, can I have a sheet of the handout? Can I have one copy of the handout? Okay, so today's topic is inner exploration. This topic come from Samyutta Nikaya 66. Sangyingpu 66. So Buddha give this talk in Kuru country. Kuru country people are highly intelligent, like Singaporean. So many talks, many profound talks are given in Kuru. For example, the four foundations of mindfulness. We have learned many times the four foundations of mindfulness are given in Kuru people. And also another profound Sutta, Maggandhya Sutta, is also given to Kuru people. And today's talk, inner exploration, is also given at Kuru town, to Kuru people, but this time given to monks. Okay, so Buddha asked a monk, asked a group of monks, do you engage in inward exploration? Bhikkhus. And the bhikkhus answer, yes. Then Buddha asks again, how? How do you engage in inward exploration? Bhikkhus. And many monks give the answer. One after another give the answer, but Buddha never satisfied. So at this time, Ananda know. So Ananda asked the Buddha and invite Buddha to give the talk. He said, now is the time for Bhagawa, for the Buddha to give the answer, and we as a disciple will listen respectfully and remember it. Okay. So Buddha start. Here, bhikkhus, when engaged in inward exploration, a bhikkhu explores thus the many diverse kinds of suffering that arise in the world hindered by aging and death. What is the source of this suffering? What is its origin? From what is it born and produced? So let us see the many diverse kinds of suffering first. In the teaching of the Buddha, when we talk about the suffering, dukkha, usually we mention three types of suffering. What are the three types? Dukkha, viparinama dukkha, and sankhara dukkha. Okay, what is dukkha? Dukkha is suffering. So when we talk about dukkha, it refers to bodily suffering. As long as we have this body, we have this bodily or physical suffering. And this will it will become clear during meditation, especially for those who have not enough meditation experience. So when you start your meditation, after 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you feel pain. Some people, after 10 minutes, they start to feel pain here and there. So the move, they shift the posture, and another 10 minutes, shoulder pains. Then they change again. Another 10 minutes, feet, they feel pain on the feet, or on the buttock, or on the thigh, or on the neck. So the pain, no matter how many times they change posture, the pain comes one after another. Then he gets fed up. Why not? Why not I do standing meditation? So after standing for 30 minutes, all the pressure go down to the feet, he also feel uncomfortable again. Then why not I walk? So he walk. After walk for 45 minutes, he feels so tired. Then why not I lie on the bed? After lying on the bed, then he feel asleep. So feel asleep, you cannot feel the pain already, right? But if you don't feel asleep, lying long time on the bed also, you feel suffering. You want to get up. For those sick person who stay in the hospital, all the time they're lying on the bed, they also feel so much suffering. They want to stand up. They want to walk. But in our daily life, we cannot feel this dukkha, bodily pain, so clear. Why is it so? Why in our daily life we don't feel so much pain as during retreat, as in a retreat, meditation retreat? Why? The answer is very easy. Simply because we keep on changing posture in our daily life. The moment you feel uncomfortable, you move. The neck feel uncomfortable, you just shake your neck. But during retreat, you are not allowed to shake your neck. You are not allowed to move here and there and stretch your hand and leg when the time is not finished. So when you keep one posture at a length of time, you will feel the dukkha, the physical suffering. So this is one type of suffering. Another one, second one, is viparinama dukkha. The suffering owing to change. This refers to pleasant feeling. Especially refer to pleasant feeling. For an example, give an example. Let's say you feel very hungry. When you feel very hungry, then you see food. You went into the restaurant because you are so hungry, so you keep on eating. When you eat the time, you feel pleasant feeling because your hunger is appeased. So you feel so much pleasant feeling, then without control, then you keep on eating until your stomach become bloated. At the time, your pleasant feeling change to unpleasant feeling. This is called viparinama dukkha, the change of pleasant feeling. So if you can aware of your own pleasant feeling in your daily life, I think within a day, at least 100 times, if you can observe from the moment you wake up until you fall asleep, at least you can see 100 times the change of your pleasant feeling to unpleasant, and the pleasant, unpleasant to the pleasant, and unpleasant to the neutral, and so on. This is called viparinama dukkha. The change itself gives us suffering. Okay? Then the third one is sankhara dukkha. Suffering as conditional state. Our body is produced by karma, right? So it's a conditioner. And our body undergoes aging. At every moment, our body undergoes aging, but we cannot see very clearly. Undergo sickness, change, and death. It's called Sankhara Dukkha. And our emotions, sorrow, our joy, happiness, sorrow, lamentation, also change all the times because they are conditioned. All our sorrow, happiness are conditionally produced. Therefore, they are impermanent. Therefore, they change all the times. This is also another type of suffering. And also the external suffering, like suffering from the natural disasters. Tsunami, earthquake, and nowadays, terrorist attack, air crash. All this external suffering, also another type we call diverse suffering. And now the Buddha asks, what is the source of this suffering? What is its origin? From what is it born and produced? Since the teaching of the Buddha is connected with cause and effect, then is suffering the cause or effect? Cause or effect? Can you answer me? Is suffering the cause or effect? Louder? Effect, yes. Suffering is effect. Then what is the cause for this suffering? This is the important question we call inner exploration. If you want to go inwardly, explore it, and this is the one. This is the question that you should ask yourself. And the Buddha answered himself. The many diverse kinds of suffering that arise in the world, hindered by aging and death, has acquisition. Upadi. Pali, we call upadi. Has acquisition as its source, as its origin, and is born and produced from acquisition. What is this acquisition, upadi? Commentary explained as aggregate. Acquisition as aggregates. What are the aggregates? Five. Form aggregate, rupa khanda, feeling aggregate, vedana khanda. Perception aggregate, sanya khanda. Formation, volitional formation aggregate, sankhara khanda. And the last one, consciousness aggregate, vijnana khanda. And this five khanda is ultimate truth. But conventionally, we say the coming of this five aggregate is called birth. Birth, jati. And because of this five aggregate, and this five aggregate, or conventionally we call birth or a person or being. And when there is birth, inevitably there is aging. Inevitably there is dukkha, bodily suffering. Inevitably there is sankhara, there is viparinama dukkha, the suffering owing to change. And inevitably there is sankhara dukkha, suffering as conditional state, because the body undergo aging, sickness, and death. And this is the normal truth of suffering, the first normal truth. All the teaching of the Buddha must go into four noble truths. Venerable Sariputta gives us a discourse, the simile of elephant's footprint. then he said that the foot plant of elephant is the greatest in the world. All the foot plant of other animals can go into foot plant of elephant. Similarly, the Four Noble Truths is the greatest teaching of Buddha. All Dhamma must go into Four Noble Truths. So, acquisition as aggregate, having this aggregate or having birth, is Noble Truth of suffering. Okay. Now, since we accept, we recognize having this body, having this mind, having this aggregate is the truth of suffering, then what is the source of this acquisition? This is called inner exploration. You explore your insight one after another. It's called inner exploration. So what is the source of this acquisition? What is its origin? From what is it born and produced? What's your answer? Okay. Acquisition has craving as its source. Craving as its origin is born and produced from craving. When there is craving, acquisition comes to be. When there's no craving, acquisition does not come to be. Okay. When we talk about a craving, which is the second noble truth, the truth of the origin of suffering, then we must not forget three types of craving, tanha. What are the three types of craving? Since we suffer now, then why we suffer? Why we come to beings? Why we come to birth? Why we have these five aggregates? Then we must know the origin, the cause of our suffering. Only then we can tackle it. We only know we are suffering, but we do not know what are the cause, what are the causes, what are the origin. Then how are we going to remove our suffering? Without tackling the origin of suffering, the suffering is an effect, cannot be removed, cannot disappear. Therefore, as a smart practitioner, we must know what cause us suffer. And as a smart practitioner, we must tackle the cause. Don't tackle the effect. So in order to tackle the cause, in order to remove the cause, to kick out the cause, we must understand them well. Chinese saying, 知己知彼，百战百胜. So you must fully understand craving, only then you know how to deal with them skillfully. You know how to defeat them. So what are the three types of craving? Number one is kamma tanha, craving for sensual pleasures. When we talk about the sensual pleasures, how you enjoy your sensual pleasures? From your own experience, how you enjoy your sensual pleasures? Through what? You do not enjoy your sensual pleasures. We enjoy so much until we forget how we enjoy it. We enjoy sensual pleasures through our eyes. The eyes want to see beautiful things. So when you see beautiful things, you feel pleasant. So at this moment, you are enjoying sensual pleasures. Similarly, our ears want to hear pleasant things, music, sweet voice, or female's voice or male's voice and so on. That makes you happy. Okay? And also our nose enjoys fragrance. Our tongue enjoys flavor. Our body enjoys so much touch, soft touch, the touch from beloved one and so on. And our mind think of all fantasy. You can think whatever you want. You can think today I will become Obama. Nobody can control you. You can think whatever you want and make yourself happy. You don't have a car, you can imagine now I'm driving Mercedes and so on. Right? So you enjoy your own fantasy, your dreams, daydreams. Okay? So this is called Kamma Tanha, enjoying, craving for sensual pleasures. And from this craving for sensual pleasures, then it extends to another craving called craving for existence, bhava tanha, craving for existence. Without existence, without five aggregates, without body and mind, how are you going to enjoy? Right? Banana stem cannot enjoy, no mind. So without aggregates, without mind and body, you cannot enjoy sensual pleasures. Therefore, in order to enjoy sensual pleasures, you crave for another thing that is existent. There is five aggregates. There is birth. There is new life, another life, so that you can enjoy all sensual pleasures. This is called bhava tanha. But for other beings, some beings, they do not enjoy sensual pleasures. Still, they crave for existence, for mind. This is for Brahma, Brahma beings. Brahma, the beings who stay in the Brahma world, they don't have the body, especially Arupa Brahma, immaterial world. They don't have the body. But they still enjoy jhana bliss. Because jhana is so peaceful, so blissful, so they enjoy having mind. So the mind can enjoy the peace of concentration, the peace of jhana state. Okay, so the crave for existence. This is the second type of craving. The third type is craving for non-existence. Craving for non-existence is not nibbana. Craving for non-existence, vibhava tanha, is associated with wrong view of annihilation, ujjata ditti. So this person holding the wrong view of annihilation, he thinks after that, nothing exists. Therefore, he craves for non-existence, but is accompanied with wrong view. And the first one, craving for sensual pleasures and craving for existence, is accompanied by another wrong view of eternalism. Eternalism, because you think it's the same person, it's the same soul that can enjoy, they will enjoy the sensual pleasures again. For example, this life, you enjoy sensual pleasures and you become so attached to the sensual pleasures, then you pray, next life, I will get a human body again so that I can continue enjoying same sensual pleasures. So you think it's the same person, same soul that transmigrate from one life to another life. This is called sasata ditti, the wrong view of eternalism. Okay? So these are the three types of craving. And because of this craving, we come into existence. And because of this craving to enjoy, then we long for existence. When you have existence, you have the body and mind. When you have the body and mind, you have aging, sickness, and death. No birth, no aging, no death, right? when there's birth, there's aging and death. Nobody can escape from such law. It's a universal law. Even Buddha cannot escape from that. Okay? Therefore, this craving is the truth of the origin of suffering, the second noble truth, Samudaya Satya. Okay. Now comes another important question. Very important question. When this craving arises, where does it arise? Since craving is the origin of all suffering, we must know when this craving arises. Where? When and where does it arise? When it settles down, upon what does it settle? So as he explores inwardly, then he understands thus, whatever in the world has a pleasant and agreeable nature, it is here that this craving arises. When it arises, it is here that it settles when it settles down. So whatever in the world has a pleasant and agreeable nature, that craving arises. So what in the world that has pleasant and agreeable nature? Now another question. Just now the question is when, where the craving arises. Now we know. Whatever in the world has a pleasant and agreeable nature, craving arises. So what are the things? What are the things that have pleasant and agreeable nature that cause craving to arise? Do you get it? Do you get the question? Okay. So what's the answer? Don't forget the title, Inner Exploration. So it must be in your body. The eyes, the nose, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the body, and the mind. So when the eye has a pleasant and agreeable nature in the world, it's here that this craving arises when it arises. It's here that it settles when it settles down. We have said we enjoy sensual pleasures. Through what? When the eye sees the object, then you start to enjoy. When the eye sees the pleasant, agreeable object, then you start to enjoy. So the eye is considered pleasant to you, right? And when the ear hears the pleasant music, a pleasant sound that you like, then you start your enjoyment. So the ear appears pleasant to you, agreeable to you. And your nose, when you start to smell something fragrance, then you start to enjoy. Then the nose also appears pleasant and agreeable to you. Similarly, the tongue, the body, and the mind. Therefore, this